الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد No doubt the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there are many they are numerous and if we were to try to count them, we could never enumerate them. Allah, He says, وَأَن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. And if you were to try to count the blessings and the favors of Allah, you could never enumerate them. And the blessings, they descend upon us consecutively, time after time, day after day, rather breath after breath, the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal. From the safety and security that we live in our homes and in our families and when we go about through the land and likewise the health and the wealth and prosperity that we have and the eyesight and the hearing and the sound mind and the well-being in oneself and one's family. These are all great blessings that no one would realize the value of them until he loses them or there is an apparent deficiency with regards to them. But although we are not able to enumerate all of these blessings, no doubt the greatest of all blessings is guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal to the truth, to understand the reality that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah alone with no partners, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. It's been narrated from Ibn Uyayna rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 198. He said, أَعْظَمُ نِعْمَةٍ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ بِهَا عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ أَنْ عَرَّفَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That the greatest favor and the greatest blessing that Allah has bestowed upon His slaves is that He has taught them that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Him. So this is a favor and a bounty that's not compared to any favor nor any bounty. And the one who has this blessing and he cherishes that and he upholds that and understands that and he fulfills the requirements of this statement truthfully and properly to the best of his ability, striving against his soul to fulfill the rights of La ilaha illallah and to actualize that in his life, he would have nothing but good in this life and in the hereafter. He would have nothing but good in this life and good in the hereafter. But the reality of this blessing, the blessing of guidance, is that it is knowledge. It is knowledge. And Allah, He mentioned about His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. That it is Him, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the one who has sent His messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bil huda wa deen al haq. He sent him with guidance. He sent him with guidance in the religion of truth. So that which the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came with guidance. He came with guidance and direction. The people of knowledge, they mention what is intended by the guidance here is al ilm al nafi', the beneficial knowledge. This is the revelation that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, light. It's been described as nur, as light, and basira, insight, and al-ilm wal-hikmah, knowledge, and wisdom, and great understanding of this life, understanding of this world, and the realities that we're facing. And to know the truth, and to realize that, and to follow it, this is the greatest blessing. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent with beneficial knowledge. Knowledge about Allah. Knowledge about the Creator. Clarifying His beautiful names and attributes of perfection. Clarifying that He is powerful and strong. And He is alive and never dies. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He has the attributes of perfection. And that His knowledge is perfect. And He knows all things. And nothing is hidden from Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that He hears all things. And He sees all things. Tabaraka wa ta'ala, His life is perfect and His attributes are perfect. And He does not get tired, nor does He go to sleep. subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he feeds and he's not fed. He needs nothing, yet everything in his creation is in need of him. Is in need of him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, clarifying that Allah azza wa jalla, he's the one who's worthy of worship. Clarifying the means to fulfill that worship. Clarifying the aspects that would invalidate that worship or bring deficiency to that worship. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent with beneficial knowledge. He was sent with knowledge and guidance of the halal and the haram and the avenues that are allowed and permissible with regards to every aspect of our life, with regards to affairs related to the heart first and foremost, and likewise with regards to affairs related to the body parts and to the ears and to the eyes and to the food and to the wealth, every aspect of our life. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent with guidance to clarify the good way with regards to that. And from the guidance that he was sent with sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to clarify the falsehood and the ways of evil and the avenues that lead to the anger of Allah azza wa jal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not leave any good that he knew for this ummah or that was revealed to him or that he was ordered to convey, except that he conveyed that, especially with regards to creed and belief and the right of Allah azza wa jal to be worshipped alone with no partners. This was the foundation of the call of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the greatest aspect of his da'wah, to call the people to worship Allah alone. And that every other aspect of this religion is based upon that. And the prayer is for Allah alone, and the supplication is for Allah alone, and the love and the fear and the hope and the trust and the reliance and the faith is for Allah alone, and the slaughtering is for Allah alone, and the swearing and taking oaths is for Allah alone. And one should put his trust in Allah alone and fear Allah alone and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking his reward and fearing his punishment in this manner like this. This is the religion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was sent with beneficial knowledge. Wa deen al-haq, and the religion of truth is the application of that knowledge. And the knowledge is a blessing and a favor from Allah azza wa jal, as we have seen. This is a blessing and a favor from Allah azza wa jal. And whenever Allah, he wants to bring about his decree, he will put things in order and he will set the circumstances to befall until that decree happens in the manner he has commanded subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the knowledge, although it's a favor from Allah azza wa jal, there are means to achieve it and there's a path to obtain it. And a person, he has to be concerned about that and strive and be interested in learning and care and have care for his religion and strive to gain an understanding. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّمَا الْإِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ, that knowledge is only by way of learning. So it's a bounty from Allah azza wa jal, but there's a path to obtain it. Just like the food and the drink and the likes, all of these are favors and blessings from Allah azza wa jal, but one, he must take the means to obtain them and to achieve them. So likewise, the knowledge, it's a favor from Allah azza wa jal, but a person, he must strive upon the path of knowledge properly and with diligence and truthfulness and sincerity to obtain it. And this requires time, this requires effort, this requires money, this requires for a person to not be negligent or to be heedless, this requires for a person to show preference to his religion and to purifying his soul. And this is in reality the greatest jihad, jihadun nafs, that one, he will strive against his soul. To learn the guidance that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent with. Jihadu nafs ala ta'allum al-haqi wal-huda alladhi ja'a bihi an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the greatest jihad. This is the greatest striving. This is the type of striving that's obligatory upon everyone who is sane and everyone who has reached the age of puberty all of their life, to strive against their soul, to know the truth, to know the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after that, to strive against the soul, to implement that in their life. Wherever they may be. This is the jihad. And the one who strives against the soul in this manner, he will have great, great blessings and great bounty and favors in his life by the permission of Allah azza wa jal. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And those who strive in our path, Allah, he says, indeed we will guide them. And Allah, he is with those who do good, meaning he's with them, he will help them, he will aid them, he will protect them, he will defend them, he will guide them, he will save them from much harm and difficulty, he will facilitate the way for them, and the likes like this. Allah is with those people who strive in His cause. Many strive to obey Him. Strive to obey Him first and foremost, my noble brothers, by learning His way, by learning His deen, by learning the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mujahid man jahada nafsahu fi ta'atillah. The true fighter, the true person making the real jihad, the real jihad, he is the one who is striving against the soul to establish the obedience of Allah. To establish the obedience of Allah. After one has, by the grace of Allah, found his feet firm on this path, the path of learning the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and implementing that in his life, and applying that in his life, and commanding his soul, and striving against himself to hold fast to that in his life, in his daily affairs, then after that he will begin to help others. He'll begin to help others and to try to share that favor and blessing that he has obtained by the grace of Allah. And then he will strive as well to call others and to benefit them according to his knowledge and according to his ability. And also along with that one, he must be patient upon all of these affairs. So one must strive likewise against his soul, and mujahadat al-nafs, jihad al-nafs, against his soul to be patient upon learning. Because learning sometimes is heavy. Sometimes the class is after Fajr and a person didn't sleep well last night. Or sometimes the class is in a time whenever there's lots of things going on, or there's opportunities, or so on and so forth. Or sometimes there's knowledge that is new and is heavy, or the information is being repeated and one already heard it before, or so on and so forth. The knowledge is heavy. Sometimes the lesson is very interesting, and other times it's not in that manner, and it's more difficult. Sometimes a person, he is attentive, and other times he is drifting off. So the knowledge is heavy, requires patience. It requires patience. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. Allah, he said to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed we're going to reveal to you a heavy statement. So the Quran is heavy, and the revelation is heavy, and that was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came with the serious. So this is something that requires patience. Patience in learning first and foremost, being patient in attending the lessons and reviewing the lessons and going over the knowledge and memorizing the knowledge and reviewing the knowledge time after time, time after time. Maybe somebody will memorize the Quran, he'll memorize a page or 2 pages or 3 pages, or he'll memorize a surah and then he'll forget. And he's not necessarily because of negligence, because it's difficult. Sometimes it's difficult. He'll memorize a page and then he will forget the page, and he'll memorize the page again and he'll forget it again. And then he'll memorize it again like this, and just striving against his soul. But if he were to give up, then it will go away and the knowledge will not remain. But if he were to be sincere and continue, if he were to be sincere and to continue, at least he has a reward with Allah Azza wa Jal. But along with that, Allah will facilitate. So eventually it will become firm and it will become strong, and the knowledge will be beneficial. A light will come into the heart and the person will be able to see. A light will come into the heart and the person will be able to see. So these are the stages of life and striving against the soul. This is how a believer, he lives his life, and this is the means of success. Striving against the soul to learn the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and striving against his soul to implement that in his life wherever he may be. Wherever he may be, in any circumstance, in any situation, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered, "Taqillaha haythu ma kunta," to fear Allah wherever you may be. That means by holding fast to His guidance, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherever you may be. And then likewise to help others by inviting them to that knowledge, and calling them to that knowledge, and making that knowledge easy for them to see, and easy for them to obtain. And then being patient upon all of this. This is called jihad al-nafs. These are maratibu. Jihad al-Nafs, Maratibu Jihad al-Nafs. Allah Azza wa Jal, he referred to this in his book, in Surah Al-Asr, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wal-Asr. Allah, he swore by the time. He swore by the time, wal-Asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr, that indeed all of mankind, they're in loss. They're losing, meaning they will fail. They will fail. They will not win. They will not obtain and achieve success in this life nor in the hereafter. Illa alladhina amanu. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Except for those who believe, and except for those who have knowledge, except for those who have knowledge in light of that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, and they believe in that in their heart. They believe in that in their heart, and they work righteous deeds. They implement that in their life, meaning they know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, al-huda wa din al-haq, and they strive against their soul to be upon that, they are the ones who will be successful. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, except for those who believe and work righteous deeds. This is those first two stages. The first two stages of striving against the soul. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and they also command and order and join upon each other and help and encourage each other to be upon the truth. I need to be upon that knowledge and that application. To be upon that knowledge, the beneficial knowledge and the guidance, and to be upon the application of that. And if they encourage each other to do this way, and they're patient upon all of that. They're patient upon all of that. So this is how a person will strive against his soul in this life. And these are the ones who are safe from failure and from loss. They are the winners. Those who live and die in this manner, they are the winners. May Allah make us and our family and our loved ones from them. From those who believe and work righteous deeds. From those who cooperate together upon piety and righteousness and are patient upon that. And are patient upon that. But likewise, there's another type of jihad. And jihad is more than one aspect. This morning, we talk about the most important aspects. The first one was jihad in nafs. The second is called jihad al-shaytan. Jihad al-shaytan. Just like you have to strive against your soul, you also have to strive against the devil. You have to strive against the devil. Jihad al-shaytan. The people of knowledge, they mentioned jihad al-shaytan martabatan. It's two levels. Two levels. Jihad al-shaytan. And to jahidahu fi shubuhatihi, to strive against him with regards to the doubts and misconceptions that he casts in the hearts of the people. That he casts in the hearts of the people. Shaitan, he has shubuhat. He has misconceptions and he has doubts. Doubts and misconceptions in the religion. Misunderstandings. Making the truth seem unclear or making the falsehood seem appealing. And the likes like this. So one, he must strive and fight against the devil. And this is with knowledge and certainty. Striving and fighting against the devil, then in jihad al-shaytan, in this aspect here, against the shubuhat, requires knowledge. Requires knowledge. So it goes back first and foremost to striving against the soul. To striving against the soul. If one can't strive against himself and learn the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he'll be like a toy in the hand of the devil. The devil will just play him and move him wherever he likes and laugh at him and use him. Laugh at him and use him. Laugh at him and use him. He'll be like a puppet in the hands of the devil. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, because he has no knowledge. Because he has no knowledge. And he will be going through life in disorder and in chaos. And he will be having calamities befalling him. And he will be upon a foul way. Upon a foul way. So to have knowledge of the religion and to have insight. And in order to fight the devil and to defend oneself and repel the shubuhat and the misconceptions. Especially with regards to creed. Especially with regards to creed, but likewise as well with regards to methodology. So this is the means of fighting the devil, to have certain knowledge and to be sincere with that. The second level of fighting the devil is fighting him against the shahawat. Likewise, he will try to lure and entice the people with shahawat. And these are the impermissible lusts. These are the impermissible lusts that shaitan, he will lead and he will decorate. And he will call the people to fall into the sins. He will call the people to fall into the sins. So the shubuhat, the way that these occur and the way a person is affected by that is by having deficiency and weakness in knowledge. By having a deficiency and weakness in knowledge. Whenever his knowledge is deficient and there's weakness there, he doesn't have a strong foundation in knowledge, then these doubts will affect him. And sometimes those doubts, if they enter into the heart of a person, they're hard to get out. They're hard to get out. Meaning they will affect his heart. They will cause him himself to have doubts and cause him himself to be unsure in his religion and to be unsure about what he's upon, yani from his Islam. So this is something that's very dangerous. This is something that's very dangerous. So this is an indication of the obligation and the great importance of learning the proper creed and proper belief and learning the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal in detail and learning the aspects that conflict with that. And invalidate that, or that would weaken that, or bring deficiency to that in great detail in order to be safe in one's religion, to have certainty. So the means to repel the shubuhat is with certain knowledge, profound, sound knowledge that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as for the shahawat, then this is corruption. Corruption of the intention. A person, his intention becomes corrupted. His intention becomes corrupted and his desires become lowly and they become base. And he starts to follow his whims and hold on to this earth and fulfill his lusts, and he will have no limits in doing that, and he will take money from this avenue and that avenue because he desires to have more, and he will look at this and look at that because he loves it and he wants it, and he will touch this and touch that because it feels good and he takes pleasure in it, and the likes like this, and he will not have any limits. He will not have any limits, and so he will fall into that which is impermissible, from the impermissible lusts, from the lusts that are haram and foul and lowly and base. And this is because he has a corrupt intention. His heart is weak. He's not strong. He doesn't have strong faith. So these are the shahawat. The way to be safe from these shahawat is to have strong determination to be obedient to Allah. To have strong determination in one's heart and to be obedient to Allah and to be patient. And to be patient and to make oneself be patient. To be patient in leaving off those sins. And be patient in performing the obligations and hoping for the reward from Allah. But it requires to be sincerely truthful with Allah and to strive against one's soul seriously. I need to leave off those sins. So these are from the most important aspects of jihad. From the most important aspects of jihad. Jihad and nafs, striving against the soul, it has 4 points. The first point is to strive against one's soul in order to learn the truth, in order to know the truth. In order to know the religion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to know what he taught his companions radiyallahu anhum, to know what they were upon, to know what they were upon. This is the first level. The second level is to implement that. Is to implement that. After learning it, you have to implement it. You can't try to implement something without learning, and you should never learn something and not implement it. Rather, first you have to learn, and then you have to apply it in your life. Then you have to apply it in your life. These are the first two levels. These are the first two levels. The second level after that, after you have come upon this good, you have found this great blessing of al-Islam, Allah guided you to this knowledge and guided you to apply this knowledge. Now that you are upon the straight path, you have implemented the shahadatain in your life. Now you tasted the sweetness of this and the joy of that. Now you want to help others also taste that sweetness. Now you want to help others also taste that sweetness. So you do what you can according to your knowledge and your ability to help them. To help them. So you start calling them and inviting them to the knowledge that you are upon and the way of life that you are upon and the application of this deen. And the application of this deen. That's the third level. The third level. The fourth level is to be patient upon all of this. To be patient upon the harms in all of this. Not to be just patient upon the harms and calling the people. No doubt if you call the people according to your efforts, then you're going to taste and face the harms from the people. They're going to harm the people. Those who call to Allah, they get harmed. But those who are sincere, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will raise their rank in that manner. Allah Azza wa Jalla will raise their rank in that manner. So no doubt there's hardship in that and there's harm in that. But also there's hardship in seeking knowledge, and also there's hardship in applying the knowledge. So this all requires patience. This all requires patience. This is the jihad and nafs. This is the jihad and nafs. Jihad and nafs. Understand that? How many points is it? 4 points. What are they? Learning. Implementing. Spreading the knowledge. And being patient upon all of that. All of that. This is very important. This is very important to keep this in mind. This is the means for success. Somebody who did not have the knowledge, he did not seek the knowledge, he will never be successful. He'll be a loser. He'll be a loser. The losers, they do not know what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. They do not know that. They do not know that. And the knowledge and the guidance that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with is two aspects. There's general guidance and there's detailed guidance. And we know that the believers, those who die upon faith, they're different levels and ranks, right? So some of the believers, they go straight to paradise. Right? Some of the believers, whenever they die and they hereafter, they never have any fear again in their life. Because there's life after death. Right? There's life after death. So after death, those who die upon correct faith, then they never have fear in their life again. After that, they never fear again. They never taste fear again. They never grieve again. They're never afraid of anything else in their life after that. In the grave, they're not afraid. In the hereafter, they're not afraid. They're safe. They're safe. They're safe. Right? They're safe. On the day of resurrection, they're safe. And in the hereafter, they're safe. This is the great success. So others also are believers, but they had weaker faith. So they're not safe entirely. Although they're safe from abiding in the hellfire for eternity, they're not safe from being punished there. So the guidance again is two types. So the one who has the general guidance, but he doesn't learn the detailed guidance, this is how that person over there, he wasn't safe entirely. He's not entirely safe. So having general guidance to La ilaha illallah and believing in that, but not knowing the details of that and how to implement that properly and live by it truthfully and die by it, this person, although he has the favor of guidance and the blessing of guidance, it's not complete guidance. So therefore, the safety that he has along with that is not complete safety. You understand that? It's not complete safety. You understand? There are believers that have complete safety. And there's the believers who do not have complete safety from the fire. We understand this? And the people who have complete safety from the fire, meaning they're believers that will never go to the hellfire. They will never be punished in the hereafter. Then there are believers who are not completely safe, meaning maybe they'll be punished in the hellfire and they'll be cleansed and purified from their sins. But since they all share the attribute of faith, all of them are promised to enter the paradise, but they don't enter the same. So this is because of guidance. Guidance is the means. The ones who have complete safety, that's because they were upon complete guidance. That's the point. Everybody with me? How do they have complete safety in the hereafter? Because they were upon complete guidance in this life. Those who have complete safety in the hereafter, they were upon complete guidance in this life. Those believers who are tried in the hereafter and they're punished in the hellfire and held accountable for their sins, or for some of their sins, their guidance was not complete in this life. So therefore, they were off of the straight path, yani to some degree. So there's a straight path in the hereafter. Before you get to the Jannah, you have to go across it. There's a straight path in the hereafter. Before you get to the Jannah, you have to go across it. Everybody know that? There's a sirat in the hereafter. You have to go across it. Underneath it is the hellfire. That sirat in this life is the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. That path, that in this life, there's a sirat also. There's a sirat al-mustaqim in the hereafter and also in this life. On the path in the hereafter, to go over the hellfire, to get into the paradise on the other side, there are hooks on the path. So some people, they're going to go across the path like a blink of an eye, so fast. And that's because they had perfect guidance in this life, and their light will be strong in the hereafter, and they'll be safe. And others will be lesser and lesser. Some people, those hooks will scratch them. They'll scratch them, and others, they'll throw them into the hellfire. Some of them, they'll be cast into the hellfire. They won't make it across. The Jannah is right there. They don't make it across. You understand that? They're believers. They don't make it across. So that's because in this life, likewise, there's a straight path. And those who are steadfast upon the straight path in this life, then they'll be steadfast upon that path in the hereafter. And likewise, those hooks that snatch the people off of the straight path in the hereafter, those are the shubuhat in this life and the shahawat. The people are being snatched off the straight path in this life with the shubuhat. The misconceptions of the people of innovation, snatching people off of the straight path. Also, the desires and the whims, snatching people off of the straight path. That's how they get snatched off the straight path in this life. And accordingly, they'll be snatched off the straight path in the hereafter. So the means to have complete safety in this life and the hereafter is to have complete guidance. And this requires to have great concern with learning, to have great time for learning, to have great patience in learning, that first stage right there, to learn. So the first stage in jihad al-nafs is learning. So by learning, that's the way to defend oneself from those shubuhat. And by applying the knowledge is a way to defend oneself from the shahawat. So this is the first two stages right here of jihad al-nafs. And this is also the means to make the jihad against the devil. And then after that, you have to help others also. You don't be stingy with the knowledge. You don't want to keep the Jannah for yourself. You want others to go with you. The straight path, yani, is big enough for all of us to get on. We don't have to push anybody off. The people of knowledge, they say the straight path in this life is big enough for all of us. We don't have to shove around and push people off the straight path. There's plenty of room for all of us to get on the straight path. Hold our hands and go straight together. But you have to be sincere. You have to be sincere. And then you have to strive and be patient against yourself to do that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.